Welcome to UN Gender Focus. I'm Jocelyn Sambira at United Nations headquarters in New York. We have a special program for you this week where we highlight the importance of getting more women and girls into science, technology, engineering, and math. The adoption of the International Day for Women and Girls in Science by the UN General Assembly was the best present ever given to women in the field. That's the passionate view of Princess Nisreen El Hashemite of Iraq, who is Executive Director of the Royal Academy of Science International Trust. Exactly 2 years on from the launch of that International Day, marked on February 11, she was back at UN headquarters to celebrate the powerful impact that it has, providing role models for girls looking to enter the sciences. Princess Nisreen spoke to Mustafa Al-Gamal.
The latest UNESCO report has highlighted the lack of women participation in research. It's up to 30% now. What would you contribute that to? How would you explain that?
There are so many factors affecting the participation of women in science. Number one, we have so many women graduating from scientific colleges and schools, but they do not pursue their career in science. And this could be as for equality in payments, in salary, like in United States and United Kingdom, where women are paid less than their male colleagues by up to 40%. And these are official statistics. So this encourage women from going forward or continue in science, while women have, you know, like the same responsibilities as men. They have to pay bills. They have so many other responsibilities. So this is one of the issues. In other countries where they have gender equality and women are paid equally with men and women and men are paid according to position, not to gender, they lack science policy, scientific research policy, research institutes, the materials, the funds for it. They lack whether the international funding or the governmental funding. But as well, you know, like this is one of the things. And the other thing, that lack of recognition for women in science and their achievements to the development in the world. You know, through history till now, we are in the 21st century and we do not acknowledge women with their achievements. We do not recognize their achievements in science, in what they have done in the world, etc., etc. There is another social issue, which is the women in science, in the time they need to pursue their career, the biological clock starts clicking. And you know that by the age of 30, the fertility of a woman starts to decrease. So the best time to conceive for a woman is in her 20s. But would you imagine that a woman just finished her PhD, doing her postdoctorate, she's doing all of this work, or she's an engineer, or she's a doctor doing her specialty, or she wanna, you know, achieve more in academic institutions, etc. And she has to think about being a mother. So after 30, you see a lot of women, or after the age of 35, they start to leave, you know, science because they want to have children. And there is no social system to support them.
Princess Nisreen, you're also a doctor and you are a practitioner. Could you tell us about your personal story? How did that come about? Why did you decide to follow that career as well as being a princess? You could have simply just been a princess.
With the tiara and the long dress,
exactly.
You know, and... since I was a kid, I always wanted to be a medical doctor. And I always wanted to be a pediatrician so I can put a smile on children's faces. I finished my high school, went to medical schools, and my parents and my brothers, I have three brothers older than me, and I am the only girl and the youngest. So I am the princess, and as well the princess for the brothers and the family, you know.
Yes, that's what we call it in our world.
Yes. So they encouraged me to go forward to fulfill this dream. When I went to start with the bachelor, you know, to do my biomedical degree, well, science is not for royalty. Go and find another college. And I was a bit tough. I was a bit too much serious at that time, and I did not expect that thing. And I said to the dean, you're supposed to encourage me to have the honor that your student is the first royal princess to be graduated from a scientific college. And I was so tough, and I want to fulfill my dream. I'm an A student, etc. And this, and then he looked at me and said to me, that's it, you are my student. And I started, you know, because I was crying, you know, like, okay, I am a princess, but, and I'm a royalty, very proud of my heritage. But I am an A student. I deserve to be a scientist. Then I finished the bachelor, went to medical school, the same obstacle. Medicine is not for royalty. Go and find another college. Nobody will do the work for you here. There is no royal protocol in medicine. You have to do everything by yourself. With all the challenges I faced, with the love and support I received from my parents and my brothers, I graduated with my MD, and I became the first royal princess doctor. And alhamdulillah, you know, grateful to God that I achieved a lot. But then in 2007, I decided to be the voice of unheard women and scientists generally to the international community, and I accepted the offer of Razet to be its executive director. And this is my story as a woman in science and as a scientist, as a doctor, and as well as a princess who brings, you know, when I go to schools, I change the image of a princess in the girl's mind, that it is not the tiara and the dress, but you can be a doctor, you can be a scientist, you can be whoever you want to be, and you are a princess.
American astronaut Peggy Whitson is making history as the first woman ever to command two missions aboard the International Space Station. However, back on Earth, the UN is concerned that comparatively few women are launching careers in the space sector or studying the so-called STEM subjects, that is science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. Deanne Penn reports on a panel discussion organized by the UN Office for Outer Space Affairs, looking at ways to get more women into STEM and into space.
A recent study by UN Educational Agency, UNESCO, reveals the extent of the gender gap in the sciences. Although in many countries women are at parity with men in the life sciences, they are consistently underrepresented in engineering and in computer sciences, a field that continues to grow. Simonetta De Pippo is director of the UN Office for Outer Space Affairs, based in Vienna.
As humankind makes significant scientific and technological advancements, there is still persistent gender inequality in the fields of science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. While there is an encouraging improvement, women's contributions and potentials are still not fully utilized. It is frustrating that in the 21st century, in the fields that are known for breaking boundaries, we are still not making the most of what women have to offer.
The panelists spoke of the importance of dismantling stereotypes surrounding the STEM careers, such as they're hard or only for geeks. They advocated for more representation of women computer programmers, engineers, and scientists, for example, in the media. Former astronaut Sandy Magnus believes these images are important. A newspaper article about women astronauts showed her that this was a career possibility.
Because at that moment, I saw there was a path. Before, I knew I wanted to do it, and I knew I was going to try and do it, but I had no idea how I was going to do it. But there, in front of me in the newspaper that day, there was a path for how I could go be an astronaut. It affected me so much, I started crying, actually. And it had a huge impact on me.
But women and girls also need to know that there are more jobs in the space sector besides astronaut, says Chiaki Mukai from Japan, the country's first woman in space. She had trained as a medical doctor, and becoming an astronaut wasn't even in her plans.
So more diverse people, not only the pilot, but also the scientists, doctors, teachers, many people can work in space program. That made me realize, oh, 20 centuries science has so advanced. Now we are living and working in space.
That was Japanese astronaut Chiaki Mukai speaking at a panel discussion organized by the UN Office for Outer Space Affairs. Deanne Penn, United Nations.
You've been listening to UN Gender Focus from the United Nations in New York. You can follow more of our programs at radio.un.org. We're also on Facebook and on Twitter. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Jocelyn Sambira.